John 18:37. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. Catholic resources and the truth. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemos papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McLean.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McLean. This is episode number 22, and this is the second part of the interview with Victor Claveau. I don't want to take up too much time. I want to keep this one short and concise because you're going to end up downloading both podcast 21 and podcast 22 at the same time. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed this second part of the series with Victor Claveau of the Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelists and School of Evangelization. Let's roll up our sleeves, let's dive deep, and let's get to the truth.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in the school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light Shekinah comes to my aid to persist, to change and sustain the way I think it exists, to feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Emmett, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive.
Now, in terms of the School of Evangelization, the other book that I wrote is called The 7% Solution, A Guide to Evangelization at the Parish, Community, or Diocesan Level. And it outlines a proven method of evangelization that, if instituted in a parish, could easily double the number of Catholics in the parish within a year to 18 months. And most Catholics are afraid to evangelize, reluctant to, because they don't feel that they're qualified. You know, they're afraid that somebody's going to embarrass them by asking them a question that they're not capable of answering. So the program, as outlined, actually we tell people, we train people to go door to door, but tell them not to answer any questions. The idea is just simply inviting people to an information forum within a parish. So you knock on a door, you find out if they're Catholic. If they're not, if they are Catholic and they're not going to church, you invite them to yours. If they are not Catholic, you ask them if they're going to, you know, they are in a church. Like if they say, yeah, we go to the Baptist church down the street, you say thank you very much and you go on your way. Because what we want are the people who are not Catholic and have no religious affiliation. Now you think, well, that can't be too many. And in actuality, it's estimated that 72% of the population in the United States have no religious affiliation.
Wow.
It's like Catholicism. Statistically, they say that we represent about 25% of the population in the United States. These are people who claim to be Catholic. If you ask them what religion they are, they say, well, I'm Catholic. Now, if you say, do you go to church on Sunday? Well, wait a minute here. You know, that's something else. And they estimate that 19% of the 26 or 27% of the people who identify themselves as Catholic actually avail themselves of the sacraments, go to Mass on Sunday, worship God fully. That means that only it equates to 4% of the population. So in other words, only 4% of the population in the United States are actually practicing Catholics. It's estimated, again, that about 24% of the population in the United States has a religious affiliation, either Jewish or Christian or Muslim or whatever. Mm. So that leaves 72% of the population are fair game for us.
Wow.
And right now, all across New England, they are closing parish after parish after parish. Boston, I can't tell you how many. I think under cardinal law, there were like 85 parishes closed. In Buffalo, New York now, they're closing 35 parishes. And what these bishops are doing is simply, like in Buffalo, the bishop there established a strategic planning committee to facilitate the closing of parishes.
Right.
Now, rather than establishing a strategic planning evangelization committee that would evangelize and fill the churches, because we can do that through the power of the Holy Spirit and a lot of sweat and blood and tears from, you know, Catholic lay people,
right,
we can fill our churches again. And eventually, if we do that, we could take over this country. We live in a secular country that, you know, our prisons are overloaded. We got drive-by shootings, murder, abortion. 48 million babies have been aborted in America since, Roe versus Wade passed and the Supreme Court authorized abortion in 1973. So, you know, we elect politicians that are absolutely, you know, pro-homosexual, pro-abortion, pro-everything that the church is against.
Right.
And until we end up having political clout in this country, we're never going to change it. And the only way we can do that is to fill our churches and have people formed properly in the area of Catholic moral teaching so that people understand what God requires of us, what is right and what is wrong. You mentioned earlier about truth and what is truth? And is truth absolute? And, you know, the Holy Father in Veritatis Splendor, the splendor of truth, he says that there are no shades of gray.
Right.
Something is either right or it's wrong. It's either true or it's false. It can't be a little bit true or a little bit false.
Right.
It's like, you know, pregnancy. I talked to a woman who had 13 kids, and I said, have you ever been a little bit pregnant? And she said, nope. You know, she was either pregnant or she wasn't pregnant. And most of the time she was pregnant. So, but that's my point.
Yeah.
So truth is not relative, and it's not situational, like abortion, saying, well, it's okay because the health of the mother, or, you know, it's okay to kill the child because the father was a rapist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you knew, Joe, that you were a product of a rape, would that have made your life any less meaningful?
Not at all.
Not at all, no. So the thing is that people don't want to see truth. I remember, I'll tell you a little story, but when my mother and father moved to California when I was 12 years old, and my mother had watched television, you know, in the mid-50s. And saw how beautiful California was, and she wanted to go. And when we got to California, there was one place that she wanted to go, and that was Hollywood and Vine. She actually wanted to go to the corner of Hollywood and Vine. And I remember one day, my mother and my father and myself, and I was standing on the corner of Hollywood and Vine. And there was a man leaning against the building, and his legs were missing. And between the stubs of his legs, he had a hat, and he had some pencils. And he was offering these pencils for sale. And this woman walked by with just really dressed gorgeous, very fancy. And she had this hat about a yard wide. And I'll never forget her because she took off the hat, put it to the side of her head. So as she walked by this man, she wouldn't have to look at him.
Wow.
You see? And that stuck in my mind. I'm 65. I was 12. I've never forgotten that. And that's the way we are. And many times in our society, we don't want to look at it. And if we don't look at it, then it doesn't exist. And yet it does exist, and abortion exists, and all of the evils, and the homosexual parades up in San Francisco, and all of these things that are going on, they're going on whether we see them or not. I mean, Bishop Sheen, when he was Archbishop, he said, what was it? He said, truth, no matter how many times you deny a truth, it's still a truth. And no matter how many times you tell a lie, it's still a falsehood. You see what I mean? Truth right. is absolute, and we need to be able to face into the problems that we have within this country. And the only thing I believe that's going to save America is the gospel message. And I'm not being, you know, naive about this. We need to bring people into the church one person at a time. One of the things that we ask our members in the Catholic, in the Pope John Paul II Society, is to try to win one soul each year. Now, if we have 4% of our population of practicing Catholic in the United States, and each one of those would win one soul, bring one person to the church and one person to the Eucharist each year, in a year we'd be 8% of the population, wouldn't we? Mm. And then 16 and 32, and it wouldn't be long before we lived in a Catholic country. Because we do have the truth. But unfortunately, as Scripture said, we keep it under a bushel. Catholics are so afraid right. to evangelize because of, as I mentioned earlier, you know, fearing the idea that we're going to look stupid.
But it's not only that either. A lot of the Catholics that I talk to, that I end up, in some cases, debating, is this idea of the truth. They simply... Not only do they not want to see it, but they'll out and out reject it. I mean, I had a conversation with a good Catholic not about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, and he was really upset at the Catholic Church because we didn't allow people to get divorced. He thought that this was cruel and unusual punishment. I talked to another Catholic a year ago who happened to be my boss at the time. And he thought it was cruel and unusual punishment for Catholics to go to third world countries and try to bring the gospel and try to convert these people. And mm-hmm. and so in no matter what discussion I get into, whether it's about scripture or about divorce in the case a couple of weeks back, it really narrows down to truth. And I said, well, there is truth. And this gentleman looked across at me and said, I don't believe in that. I believe it's gray. And I said to him, and I thought, how sad for him. And I said to him, truth is a person. It's Jesus Christ. He says so in John's Gospel, chapter 18. And, yep. you know, he says, I am the truth. And mm-hmm. everybody who seeks truth hears my voice. And Pilate responds, but what is truth? And the truth is a person. And how sad it is for Catholics to deny. And I think we've been sort of poisoned by our society to believe, well, it's not couth, it's not status quo to say that the Catholic Church is the only true church. You know, all mm-hmm. these denominations should be on equal par, because certainly we all have love for Jesus and we all have the Holy Spirit. You know, but
but the bottom line right. is that we don't. We don't all have the same thing.
Right.
When you reject the sacraments that Jesus instituted,
right.
you know, Catholics have an assurance of heaven. We do. We don't have an absolute, you know, yeah, I'm going to go to heaven, because we understand that we can fall. St. Paul wrote in his, you know, epistles that he even worried that he himself would fall and lose the prize at the end of the race.
Right.
So there is a possibility of losing our salvation. But through the sanctifying grace of the sacraments, then yes, we can have this assurance of heaven and live a holy life. And that's the main thing. See, one of the things that we don't understand, at least Protestants, I think, don't understand, is that when Luther came on the scene, he took away accountability for sin.
Mm.
He said, all you have to do is accept Jesus and you go to heaven. And if you don't, you go to hell. Purgatory didn't fit into his theology. So this idea of simply accepting Jesus, that's a simple, easy gospel message, and I can do that.
Hmm.
I don't have to be accountable, because Jesus did it all. He sacrificed for me. I don't have to do anything. And the scriptures are replete
right.
with commands, you know, where Jesus says, you know, you must do the will of my Father, and you must obey the commandments, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Even
right.
you must eat my flesh and drink my blood.
Right.
And
you know what I call that, Victor? I call that the,
pardon me?
You know what I call that? I call that the get out of jail free card. You know, a lot
the
of
Eucharist?
Well, no. That no. The thinking that Protestants have, or anybody who possesses the thought process that all I have to do is this one thing, and then I never have to worry about my sinfulness ever again. A lot of people don't understand. Martin Luther struggled with his sinfulness, his sin nature. So what did he do? He tossed the concept down.
That's
so
right.
He just removed his own guilt and said, okay, now I never have to worry about it again. Well, that's not logical. That's not honest. That's not truth. And that's the get out of jail free card. And Jesus says, well, you will spend every day in jail until you've paid the last penny. So there is no get out of jail free card. We have a blessed assurance, but it's only based on our cooperation with that which Christ merited. And that's what I struggle with, and that's why when I looked at the Pope John Paul School of Evangelization, I thought this is a beautiful gift that we need to encourage, because as Catholics, we as lay people even, our priests are overworked and they're short-staffed, so lay people need to step up, and this is one really good way to do that. I mean, this is a beautifully designed, because not every lay person has to, you know the scriptures in and out and have it all memorized in order to go out and evangelize. And to think that there's 70% of our country that has no religious affiliation whatsoever. What I mean, when you think of that in terms of the judgment, you know, wow, that's such
a vast
number of people.
Yeah, I mean, the souls are pouring into hell. It's as simple as that. I mean, Satan must be gleeful. See, one of the things, getting back to Martin Luther, there, you know, he took away the accountability for sin, as I said, and he wrote at the end of his life. And not only him, but Calvin and Zwingli as well. And they wrote about, Luther specifically said that the ministers of the gospel under Lutheranism were far more corrupt than the ministers under Rome.
Wow.
He made it very, very clearly. Even though he didn't repent at the end of his life, he recognized the idea that what he did was wrong. And see, and these are things we need to be able to get out there and share with people. The Luther won Germany essentially through his tracts, these little pamphlets that Luther put out. He had these, and then his letters and so forth. But he flooded Germany with these things. And so the value of a tract, a little pamphlet like we're doing with 2,000 words in it, the value of that, you can put them wherever you are. I have one friend who's a dentist, and he leaves them on his table. He's not afraid of offending people. Mm-hmm. He just simply says, I'm a Catholic, this is what I believe. And instead of having, playboys in his office, he has these tracts that we've produced. So the powerful, they are powerful instruments of evangelization. In terms of the School of Evangelization, what we're trying to do now, as funds come in, is to be able to put it on a DVD. We want to be able to put the entire School of Evangelization on a series of DVDs that we will be able to upload onto our website, and people will be able to simply download them and view it and be able to institute this program of evangelization within their parish. Right now, we just simply have the book available for people to go, and then people can call me and answer questions. And by the way, my email address is pjpiisoe@earthlink.net. So, and our telephone number is 760-488-2919. So if anybody would like to talk to me or have a question or a comment, and if you reviewed our website and you can offer suggestions on how we can make it better, we're in desperate need of translators and whatever language, you know, that you you can speak and translate. If you really feel that you're competent and qualified, I'd love to talk to you. We have three or four people now translating in Spanish. We have, the website is already up in French, but we only have two translators in French. So if you can speak and translate any language, you'll be doing a great service to the people, you know, with the same cultural and language background that you have. And we'd love to talk to you about that. So there's just so much that needs to be done. And it may take us 10 years before we're really where we want to be, but little by little, You know, we're getting there, and we're going to. I'm going to Rome, or not Rome, but Mexico City. They have what they call the Path to Rome Conference, put out by Milos Jesu, and it's an international conference once a year. Last year it was in London. This year it's Mexico City, and I've been invited, praise God, as one of the speakers, and I'm going to be sharing with them what the Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelists is doing and what we hope to accomplish on a worldwide basis. We have one of our members who we've been working with, and we want to try to produce a penny catechism in various languages, something that's really inexpensive that we could produce for 5 cents or something like that, and then produce by the tens of thousands and flood a country with these things. So we have, and then another thing we're trying to do is prison ministry. In California, we have a recidivism rate of 95%. 19 or 24 out of 25 people in prison will return to prison.
Wow.
Now that's extraordinary. In Canada, they only have a recidivism rate of 30%. Why? Well, one thing is that they have half of the prisons in Canada are staffed by Catholic priests. Makes a difference when you bring the gospel message and when they can be supported by the sacraments, you know, spiritually enriched and fed by the Eucharist. It makes a difference in people's lives. There's one guy in prison, and he writes a lot for Catholic or Answers, this rock magazine. Mm-hmm. Name is Russell. And, you know, he wrote that he had catechized over 200 men, and his bishop worked with him to baptize and confirm and offer the Eucharist and so forth. And out of those 200 men, only one returned to prison.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, extraordinary. What we can do if we would just, you know, so what we're trying to do is there's no organized nationwide organization dealing with prison ministry. You see what I mean? Each state is autonomous as well, and most of them are just local programs. We need to have a national clearinghouse, if you will, something where people involved in prison ministry that are Catholic all over the country can go to. And we're hoping to be able to provide that and to be able to provide our materials specifically for prisoners. The bishop in Montego Bay, Bishop Charles DeFore, is a friend, and he spoke to me about Seventh-day Adventism. And there are 467 Seventh-day Adventist churches in Jamaica, and only 4% of the population are Catholic. And the Seventh-day Adventists are the largest Christian group in Jamaica, and they're really anti-Catholic. So he requested that we write pamphlets. So there's 15 pamphlets on our website right now refuting Seventh-day Adventism and their beliefs using Scripture.
Wow.
So these are things. We need to do the same thing with people in prison, to be able to provide materials to them that are going to make a difference in their lives. But it's only the saving grace, the sanctifying grace of the sacraments that save people. And if we could keep one person, you know, or just 1% of the people from going back to prison because of the gospel message and the belief that God is with them and sustaining them and supporting them, it would make a difference. You know, the Jews have an expression, if you save one life, you save the world. Well, that's the way we have to look at it, is every life is so vital and precious in the eyes of God. And so we need to do whatever we can to bring just one, if each person could just bring one person.
Right.
I'm not asking for 10 or 20 or 30 or 40, and neither is God. I think the Holy Spirit. But if you're open to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit will use you, and you will be an evangelist. You
know,
don't have to be an expert.
Imagine if we could just take 1% of the prisoners who go back, if we can just get those people into the church, and instead of filling prisons, we could fill churches. Imagine what we could accomplish. Imagine if we could stop abortion. That's an entire generation of our countrymen who are dead as a result of this, you know, lack of acceptance of truth. Imagine how many churches we could overflow and fill. We would be We would be, you know, just like the health and wealth gospel folks down here in the South who build stadiums, you know. You know, we possess the truth if we just try to do something. And that's kind of what I try to always tell people is we just merely have to try. Just try to do something. And that's where my podcast comes from, is just my attempt to try to do something, you know. And
we need to stand up and proclaim that Jesus established one church and we are it.
Right.
It's as simple as that.
Right. Our father would never father more than one family.
That's correct. You need to stand up and be counted. I was in the Navy for over 20 years, and 8 years I recruited, and my job was I was called a zone supervisor, and my job was to train recruiters. And I remember at the time that the Marine Corps had a waiting list, and most of the Marines, you know, they were sent to Navy schools. We had the better schools. The Marine Corps apparently really didn't have any, except, you know, on warfare and combat and that sort of thing. But the Marine Corps had a waiting list to get in. We were out there hustling, you know. We were out there really beating the bushes, trying to get people interested. And we had something, I believe, far more to offer educationally and so forth, career-wise. Our advancement was faster than the Marine Corps. But what did the Marine Corps have to offer?
Pride.
Their uniform, their pride. You know, they wanted the best, and that was the image. You know, we want a few good men, and we don't want a whole bunch of men. We want a few good men.
That's right.
And because of that image, that they were the elite of the military services, people gravitated to the Marine Corps. Same thing, same principle with us. When we start, like the Holy Father recently, I was so proud of him when he stood up and said, "Hey, we are the church. Everybody else is a shadow of the church,
right,
and they are not true churches." Well, praise God for him.
Right.
You know, to have the courage enough to stand up there. And I think we have a marvelous Pope in Benedict XVI. And I think we're going to see some changes in the church, and especially in the hierarchy. Pope John Paul II, if there's one thing that permeated his pontificate, was evangelization. That's why he traveled to over 200 countries.
Mm-hmm.
And Pope Benedict, when he went to Brazil, that's all he talked about was evangelization. Because in Mexico and South America, they've lost over 15% of the church in recent years. Last 10 or 15 years. A friend of mine, one of our board members on Pope John Paul II Society, is an airline flight attendant. And he was telling me about a flight to Mexico City that had 50 young Mormon missionaries.
Oh, wow.
50 going into Mexico City.
Mm.
And, you know, and we're not doing it. I mean, and not to say that the, you know, organizations like the Propagation of the Faith aren't doing good work. They're doing marvelous work, and we have every year over 100 people in our church die as martyrs overseas and as missionaries and evangelists. So we have a lot of people out there. We just don't have enough.
Right.
And when you talk about the United States, we only have about 50,000 priests and 80,000 nuns. I mean, that's nothing for a population the size of the United States.
Right.
So how can we expect them to get out there? Bishop Sheen wrote over 20 years ago, he said, "The future of the church in America lies in the hands of the laity. It's up to us, and if we love our God and we love our church, then we need to get off our butts and get started here."
Right.
Because, we're in deep trouble in this country.
Well,
you know,
nobody's going to encounter more people in average life than the lay people. I mean,
that's right.
I mean, priests live in the world, our parish priests live in the world, that's true, but they're simply not going to encounter the average person as many or as often as we will. So just by sheer statistics, we should be the ones to go out and pick up our cross and have the courage to proclaim that which Christ died to give us.
Right.
You know?
Well, the thing is that we're trying to equip the laity. If they're in the workplace and somebody has a question about Catholicism, why do you do this, why do you that, go to our website. You'll find a pamphlet, more than likely. And if you don't find a pamphlet that you need, let us know and we'll make one. But, you know, like I said, these are, why do you do that? Why do you do this? It's all there. So you can turn around, print these pamphlets out, and hand them out and say, well, this is what we believe. Just take a few minutes to read it.
I absolutely love those pamphlets. I use them a lot as resource materials for this podcast, and I always put links to them on my blog after the episode, so people can read them. And they're very, like you said before, they're very short, they're very to the point, they're very concise. They hit them hard, mm-hmm. and they hit them quick. And a lot of folks just simply don't want or have the time to read extensive materials. So that's why I like them, because they do produce a lot of great information, but in a format that's easily digestible. Now, Victor,
yeah, they're to the point.
Victor, mm-hmm. you have a fundraising dinner coming up. Can you give us some information on that?
Well, Saturday, for any of you that are in Southern California, we've got, right now we have about 95 people that are coming. It's at the Cantu Basco restaurant. It's a Basque restaurant in Chino, California. It's going to be Saturday night, 6 o'clock. They can contact me through our website, pjpiisoe.org, or my email pjpiisoe@earthlink.net, and find out more information about it. But it's going to be superb food, good friends, door prizes, with the whole thing. And what we're trying to do is raise money for the society. Like I said, I've only given you a. We have so many irons in the fire, but there's a lot of us involved. It's not just me. So it's not my society or my work. There's a lot of good people that are involved in this and that are helping out. But we can only go as far as the money will allow. You know, I mean, our folding machine, we bought it on eBay. It was over $4,500. We bought a used one on eBay for $21. Mm. I bought a printer. Now, we're printing our own books. I bought a Ricoh printer. The printer was... $6,700, something like that, and we were able to purchase it for a little over $3,100, brand spanking new on eBay. Mm. So, you know, we're really trying to get the equipment that we need to do the job, to be able to. We have some people. We don't sell pamphlets, but we have some people who are in prison ministry. Or in prison. We have, you know, people in prison who write to us, and we send them information and pamphlets. And we have retired priests who say, you know, I'm retired. I don't have, a way to print this material. Would you send them to us? And the answer is absolutely yes. We're not making them available and doing the work for everybody else, but mm-hmm. only for people who are not in a position, like I said, priests and prisoners, right. Then we will provide the material for them.
That's fantastic. So this dinner that you're putting on is going to try to help raise some funds to not only fuel this fire, but all the other activities like the School Evangelization DVDs and all the other materials that you offer.
Well, there's so many projects, and what we're, you know, I know we have people that send us $20 a month or $10 a month and that sort of thing, but what we really need are people, somebody who's going to say, look, I really like what you're doing, and, you know, here's $250,000, and, you know, the idea of the penny catechisms published in different languages, so that if we can make them available for 5 cents a piece and then send them to, you know, say we go into Brazil with these things, and some guy living in a small village who, you know, people in the Philippines, a friend of mine, one of our board members named Steve Roquet, owns he's the president of an organization called St. Stephen's Mission Outreach. Mm. And what he does is he tries to find sponsors for young Filipino kids who have no education. And some of these people, you know, he says when a guy makes 70 cents a day working in a rice paddy, you know, how can he possibly afford uniforms for his kids to go to school?
Right.
And I got to run, but I want to give you one little... He went to the Philippines and talked to a priest there, a couple of priests on one of the islands, and the priest was saying, you know, we can't even get people to come in to be baptized. And Steve said, why? And he said, well, they can't afford it. He said, well, what do you mean? How come baptism should be free? And he said, well, it is free, but we have to provide a certificate of baptism, and that costs $1.10.
Oh, wow.
And so the people don't want to come in to be baptized because that's a day's wage for some of these people. They can't afford it. So Steve said, well, I'll tell you what, Father. He said, I'll make a deal with you. For the next 6 months, he said, you have people come in, baptisms are free. I'll pay for the certificates. On one condition, you conduct a seminar on the seven sacraments and how important baptism is, and you know, if they're willing to come to a one-day seminar on the sacraments, and he said, I'll even pay for their lunch. And he said it blew him away when he got a bill from the priest for $2,400. 1,473 people came in to be baptized.
Wow. Praise God.
Yeah. 1,473. And the only thing that was keeping them was the cost of a darn certificate. So, you know, Steve sponsors kids. I sponsor one of his kids. $25 a month. The kid gets food at school. He gets his tuition at school, a uniform for school, books, pencils, everything he needs, including lunch, for $25 a month.
Wow.
And they choose one child, usually the oldest child, in a family, you know, and try so that at least one person in that family can get an education so that they can go out and make, you know, a decent living and then come back and, you know, do that. I mean, he has a what they call a buy a pig program. It costs like $30 to buy a pig. That's a lot of money, all right? But if you buy a pig and you give it to a family, they raise the pig, and then you take two from the first litter. And then you take those pigs and those two, and you give them to two other families.
Wow.
And eventually, you see what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's tremendous poverty in the world that we're not even aware of. And, we, you know, like I said, even a penny catechism. In Jamaica, when I went to Jamaica, the average Jamaican makes $30 a week. But a Bible costs $10.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, his priest didn't even have catechisms. So when I came back, I wrote an article for This Rock magazine about evangelizing in Jamaica and asked people to donate money. And we were able to send them hundreds, literally hundreds. We sent them 100 hardcover Bibles for their kids in school. We sent them about 250 paperback Bibles. And I think, if I remember correctly, about 150 catechisms.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. And then, I mean, and we sent them to Food for the Poor in Florida, and they put them on a container and sent them to Montego Bay. But when you have a population of 4% in Jamaica are Catholic, and they're poor, you know, and the bishop doesn't live in a palace, believe me, I stayed with him, you know. So this is he's a super, super bishop. He toured with me for 9 days. We here in America, I just have no idea how much just a few dollars can mean to people in third world countries who are really struggling on a day-to-day basis, and they have no food, no education, the kids don't have clothes or shoes or whatever. So St. Stephen's Mission Outreach is, you know, I'm proud to say that we're part of that.
That's fantastic.
A very small part, but these are things that we're trying to do. The world needs... You know, I guess that's the old thing, to take the risk of sounding trite, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Well, you know? Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. And
right.
Obey him means to go out and to share the sacraments, the life of
that's
grace
right.
with every other human person on the planet. Well, Victor, again, thank you very much for your time tonight once again.
Anytime.
And I think this one took. I got a good feeling about this one. So I think this one's going to come up, and I'll be able to put this online this week. And I'll let you know. I'll send you an email
okay,
just to
Joe.
Confirm that happened. But one last time, can you just give us your contact information for anybody who wants to reach out to you?
All right. The website is www.pjpiisoe. That stands for Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelists .org. That's our website. Our email address is pjpiisoe@earthlink.net. And then our telephone number is area code 760-488-2919.
And for anybody who doesn't know, Victor, I'm sure most people do, but Victor is also a guest on Catholic Answers on occasion. He's been on several times, and that's how I found him. So I want to encourage my listeners to go to Catholic Answers' website and dig out his visits there and take a listen, because he does a fantastic job on Catholic Answers.
When they get desperate, they call me.
I don't think it's desperation, Victor.
All right, Joe.
You have a great
God
night.
God bless you and what you're doing.
Praise
you know,
God.
Every little bit helps, and you're doing a good job by these podcasts and getting the word out. Thank you very much for what you do.
Thank you, Victor, for your time.
God okay.
You. Bye-bye.
Good night. God bless.
Be sure to stop by the blog, CatholicHack.com, and get the link to Victor's website, the Pope John Paul II Society of Evangelists. And stop by his website, check out his materials, send him an email, let him know just how much you appreciate what he is doing for the faith. Thank you guys very much for your support of this podcast, for listening. I do appreciate your feedback, and I've been getting quite a bit of that. Want to say hello to Adam from adamthecatholic.blogspot.com. Stop by his website and check that out. Keep it up, Adam. I also want to thank you for taking the time to stop by iTunes and leave me a review. That is very, very helpful for me. But again, please stop by the blog and check out the brand new Catholic Hack t-shirts. Pick one of those up, send me a picture, and I'll post that on the blog. Until next time, God bless.
The Catholic Hack, the best in parking lot podcasting.